portmanteau, the combination of the word sheep and people. What's the life of sheep? On the one hand, it's pretty good. And on the other hand, it's kind of lousy. Because what happens to a sheep? A domesticated sheep, you know, lives in a pen. Wakes up in the morning living in a pen. Maybe an individual pen or with some other sheep, maybe. Who knows? Somebody, a human, of course, comes over and opens the pen and releases the sheep out into a field. Now that field, of course, is enclosed as well. It's just a pen, but just larger. And so the sheep, you know, grazes in the field, and you know, some dog runs over and starts barking and scaring the sheep, right? And the sheep, they start moving in one direction or another. It depends on where the dog is barking, because if the dog is barking like over here, you know, the sheep are gonna go over there. But if the dog barks over here, the sheep are gonna go over there. You know, the sheep are just reacting to the dogs. And you know, if you're a sheep, you know, who knows who's controlling the dog? The dog just barks. I mean, I don't know. I mean, do you? I bet not, right? So the sheep, right, they live their lives. They're in their pen at night. They're out in the field during the day. They're barked at and scared. And the sheep will go this way and that, arbitrarily, at least from their point of view, right? They hang out with the other sheep. They eat as much grass as they want, you know, and every so often they get sheared, of course, which isn't really painful to the sheep. I mean, it's kind of annoying, but what happens is that thick wool that grows on the sheep, right? Every once in a while, a farmer will come and shear it all off. And there you'll have the sheep naked. I mean, if you've ever seen a sheep after it's been sheared, it looks very amusing, right? Before it was like this fluffy thing, and now it's scrawny and little, and of course it's cold because it doesn't have its wool anymore. But, you know, that's the life of sheep, right? All right. Now, on the one hand, it's actually pretty nice. It's a pretty nice life if you think about it. You don't have to worry about where food is coming from. You don't have to worry about making any big decisions. You don't have to worry pretty much about anything. You just live your life. And yeah, you run when the dog barks, yeah? You don't have to stay at night, you know, in the pen, and maybe it's not that comfortable. You're hanging around with the other sheep, and maybe you don't like the other sheep, and you wish you could change your company. But, you know, all in all, it's a pretty good life now, isn't it? It's a pretty easy life now, isn't it? It's comfortable, right? On the other hand, of course, you realize that sheep have no agency whatsoever. They're slaves to their owners, the farmers and the dogs that bark at them. They do whatever the farmer wants, either by direct order from the farmer or by the intervention of the dog, who, after all, is an agent of the farmer. Yeah, and you know, the possibilities of making an allegory about the situation are endless. I mean, hell, you know, Pink Floyd's Animals, you know, Roger Waters, you know, little magnum opus Before the Wall, that was all about that conundrum. And of course, it's horrifying because you have no agency. You have no agency, you have no free will. You are essentially a slave, right? But a comfortable slave. Most people are sheep. Most people are comfortable in their slavery. And you think, and you've been told that you live in a free society. You don't. You don't live in a free society, okay? And your shackles, of course, they're not like a sheep's pen or something like that. Your shackles are debt. Your shackles are worrying about not crossing the law and not getting arrested. Your shackles are other people's expectations. Your shackles are innumerable. And what's more interesting is that, see, the shackles that you have are far more powerful than the iron shackles of a slave, of a real slave, of an outright slave. I mean, if you think of like black people in the 19th and 18th century being slaves, you know, shackled, you know, feeling all miserable as they came on the boat from Africa to the Americas, right? If you think of that as the stereotypical imagery of the slave, all shackled on that boat, right? Well, the shackles you have today are far worse than those chains. Oh, yeah. Because, see, the sheep of today, or let me phrase that, the sheeple of today, the slaves of today, don't realize that they're in shackles. At least the slaves that came from Africa, they knew what was going on. And they were under no illusions. They weren't fooling themselves. They were like, yep, I'm a slave. Yeah, see these shackles on my ankles? See these shackles holding my wrist together? Yep, I'm a slave. Oh, look there. They're going to sell me. Well, I'm going to stand up there in front of everybody, and they're going to be able to examine me and see if I'm physically fit. And if they consider me physically fit, I'll fetch a higher price for my owner, not for me. And my owner will get a windfall from my sale, you know, and my new master will order me around to do this, do that, what have you, and I'll be a slave. See, Africans who came over on the boat, they did not have any illusions, but the people today, they're fooling themselves. They're so foolish as to think that they have actual free will. They are so foolish as to not see the chains that bind them because they're comfortable. And they've been told a nice story, a nice fairy story that makes them believe that they are free, but they're not. And the most powerful chains that they have are chains of ideology. They believe certain things, certain, you know, truisms, quote unquote, because they're spoken of as if they're true, but they're not really true. They're just part of an ideology. For instance, people today are told that democracy, good. Democracy is great. And our system, of course, is democratic, which, of course, it isn't. If you start looking at it more carefully, first of all, it's a representative democracy. It's not an actual democracy. Secondly, how can you claim it to be even a representative democracy when the possible candidates are so limited? The possible candidates for leadership, the people who could potentially lead you in a representative government. Well, you know, the menu is quite small. The range of acceptable opinion that will allow somebody to become a politician who could potentially represent the people, right? The sheeple. Well, their opinions are an incredibly narrow band. And for the most part, as of late, this incredibly narrow band is not representative of the problems going on today, not in our society. And they present no solutions to the problems that we have. I mean, look what's going on with the yellow vests in France, man. They've been going on 13 or 14 weeks so far of protests, weekend after weekend after weekend, and they're not letting up. Yeah, because their problems are not being represented by their politicians, because the politicians who are, you know, on offer, they offer a very limited range of possible solutions to the problems. And some problems that are outside the scope of these solutions, well, they don't exist. And the same thing is happening in the United States, in Great Britain, in Germany. I mean, just about all the quote-unquote democracies of the West are suffering the same exact problems. They don't have democracy. They have the illusion of democracy. And people believe this ideology. The sheep believe this ideology. And some of the sheep believe that, oh, we live in a capitalist society, free market, Uber alles, and all that crap, right? It ain't a fucking free market capitalist society. Bullshit. It's a monopolistic, oligarchic kleptocracy where you have people who have money eliminate the competition so that there is only one major player in every industry. And so they create unfair advantages for themselves. And again, limit the possible choices to the people. I mean, look at online life, right? How many search engines are there? Well, in name, there are like three or four. You got Google and Bing and DuckDuckGo and whatever. But in actual fact, you only have one. You've got Google. And social media, well, you've got this, that, the other. But in the end, you only have Facebook. And what about talking on the public square? You only got Twitter. See? See how it is? It's a monopoly. And I'm just talking about online, but in all areas of our quote-unquote capitalist free market economy, that's what's going on. There's only one player or a few players. In publishing, where I came from, right, there are only five publishers. And you say that there are all these publishers. You might tell me that there's Doubleday and Putnam and Penguin and Viking and Simon & Schuster and St. Martin's and this and that and the other. And you start going through all the names of the quote-unquote publishers, but they're not publishers. They're imprints. All of them are owned by only five companies. You see what I mean? And the same is happening in every aspect of life. There's no free market. There's no fucking free economy. And anybody tries to compete, they are squashed because they're all in cahoots with one another. Yeah, look what happened to Subscribestar. Tried to go up against Patreon. And what did Patreon do? Well, we don't know this for a fact, but it seems and we're all adults, so we can read the tea leaves. It seems that Patreon called up PayPal, and PayPal just yanked Subscribestar's ability to use PayPal, and that was that, right? Yeah. Competition? Bullshit. There's no free market competition. And the government and private enterprise, they help each other to succeed. Private enterprise gives money to the politicians, and the politicians, what do they do? They turn around and create regulations that help these industries. Yeah, corrupt to the core. But what do people say? They say, oh, we live in a democracy. Oh, we live in a free market economy. It's all ideological. You start to see it because they're sheep. They believe this shit. They believe the bullshit that they've been told. They are sheep that every morning they wake up and they wander out of their pen and they go out into the field and there's some dog barking at them. And so they skitter away frightened from this dog. Be it the boss, be it the policeman, be it the taxman, be it this, that, the other, who knows? All these people barking at them and telling them what to do. And they're fucking sheep. Yeah, that's a fact. But the funniest part of all this, if you ask me, is these morons, these fucking idiots, who say that, oh yeah, I see through what's going on. I know what, I'm not a sheep. I know what's going on. Fucking fools, okay? Because a lot of times these guys are trading in one ideology for another, okay? A lot of these guys who sort of like wake up to a lot of problems that are going on and realize a lot of it is so much bullshit, and they think that they are freeing themselves from one particular ideology. But what they're really doing is just swapping one ideology for another. How many guys do you know were like SJWs, like hardcore social justice warriors, right? And they got the red pill or whatever metaphor, right? And they sort of like woke up and they became like these hardcore libertarians. I mean, we know plenty, right? And these guys, they're hardcore libertarians, and they start talking about like capitalism, uber alles, right? Oh, we have to do capitalism. Not understanding, of course, that capitalism is a tool, okay? It's not an end in itself. It's like saying that, oh, I'm in favor of hammers. You'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? A hammer is just a tool. You know, you can't be in favor of hammers. That's absurd. But a lot of these guys who sort of like drop the SJW ideology and embrace, say, libertarianism, right? Which happens all the time. They're just swapping out one ideology for the next. Sheeple. They're unable to step away from all ideologies and sort of like see the world as it actually is. And this is the hard part, see the fact that there is no clear explanation or a simple explanation that you can hang your hat on and you know, get propped up by. There is no one mode of thinking, see? And this is what separates, you know, the real individual, the real man, from the sheep, from the sheeple. You see, you have to understand the horrible thing is that, see, there is no framework that can prop you up and give you all the answers. There isn't any. And that's the hard thing that you have to face about life. All these ideologies that the sheeple, you know, grab onto with both fists, right? They grab onto being a liberal, right? Or they grab onto being a conservative or libertarian or whatever the fuck. Whatever ideology they latch onto with both hands, with both fists, just holding onto it for dear life, as if it's like a fucking, you know, life raft in the middle of an ocean, right? That's how hard they grab onto it, right? And they're sure that their ideology has all of the answers. They're sure of it. But see, that's what sheeple think. That's what sheeple think. They think that one ideology, one set of beliefs, one something is the answer. There is one church, there is the right church, and if they finally find that right church, all their problems will be solved. They never have to worry ever again about fear. They never have to worry about being unsure. If they can find that one church, that one set of beliefs, they can just pick it up with both fists and proclaim it to be the truth, and they never have to worry about doubt ever again. And see, that's how you know the difference between a true individual, a true man, and a sheeple, because a man knows that life is all about doubt. And you're constantly reappraising everything that you think. And you are willing to cast aside even the most cherished beliefs you might have for the sake of new information or a better understanding of the world. See? And that's the key difference between sheeple and a true man, a true individual. And that's hard. It's hard to live that kind of life. It's hard to be so willing to dismiss a core belief once you realize you're wrong. And it's so comfortable to be a part of the gang, to be a part of the herd, that herd of sheeple who are libertarians, SJWs, conservatives, liberals, whatever the fuck. It's so comfortable. That's why most people are like that. Even the people who proclaim the loudest that they're like an individual, that they're like a real individual, that they think for themselves. They're a free thinker. Oh yeah, they're a free thinker. And they think outside the box. Yeah, it's like a sheep out in a field, you know. The fencing is so far away that they can't see it. And so they think that they're free. They're not. They're just in a bigger cage. You see what I'm saying? A lot of these guys, a lot of free thinkers, a lot of people who are just, you know, who proclaim to everybody who will listen, and most especially to themselves, that they are truly free thinkers, that they are truly open to the world and to all the truth that is out there. Those are the people you have to be careful about, okay? Because they are fooling themselves. And that's what you have to be on your guard against, that you don't become that guy who truly is fooling himself completely, right? You gotta be careful about not falling into that trap. Oh, yeah. And the way you guard against falling into that trap is very simple but very difficult. And it's to be humble and to know at the core that you might well be wrong about everything, and that no matter what you might think, no matter how much you might cherish some belief, you have to be willing to drop it at a moment's notice when you realize that you're wrong. And you always have to have the humility to be looking at yourself and thinking about what you believe in and wondering if it's false. Now that's hard. That's really goddamn hard. Yeah, today's video was a little more abstract, I suppose, than usual. A little bit more, you know, macro. Yeah. Think about it.